He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, with a lot of observations here today of what is going on in the market, in the economy, in the global economy, around the world, in COVID, in new breakthroughs and promising new companies. So stay tuned for a whole lot of information coming your way. We've got Dow futures down 158 right now. I'm going to blame weak China numbers and also the possibility that they may retaliate against our technology companies because of our banning of Huawei products in America and travel amongst Huawei folks. And the NASDAQ futures are down 133 today, mostly because of that and the weak numbers out of China. NASDAQ futures down 133. S&P futures down about 20 right now. Actually, NASDAQ futures have improved a little bit. They're down 109 right now. We've got crude oil down 44 cents, but it did close above $41 per share yesterday on the vaccine news. $40.76 is where crude oil now sits. Gold, a little soft here the last few days. People thinking that the vaccine is right around the corner and we'll get back to normal by Monday. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Gold is down $8 to $18.05. The 10-year, we've seen a little action in the bond market here recently. It's down 5 basis points right now over the last couple of days. It's at 0.61 today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting live from the shores of the Wando River. There goes a little boat up the river, do a little fishing. Let's see, what do we got? High tide will be in low tide will be in a few hours here. I always watch the tides. We live by the tides around here. You ask any Charlestonian or South Carolina, they know exactly. Oh, low tide's going to be at 10 a.m. They time their day by the tides around here because, see, best fishing is right around that low tide. When it turns around and the tide starts to come in, talking about tides, the tide's going to go out today a little bit on the market. After kind of a wild and wacky day yesterday, we started off really strong in the morning on the Moderna and AstraZeneca vaccine updates. The market really takes a cue from that. Every time we get good news on the vaccine, all of a sudden the market thinks that tomorrow there will be no more COVID issues and we'll all be back to our favorite restaurants and our favorite hotels and in our favorite airlines and over to Hawaii on cruise ships and all the rest of that. But that's just not the case. We're getting there. We're moving in that direction. It's called Warp Speed, the Warp Speed project, trying to come up with the vaccine to put an end to all this nonsense. We were at Charleston's probably most famous, most popular, we'll call it most popular, well, amongst the locals anyways. There's one that's more popular amongst the tourists, but I don't really go to that one. I would say the restaurant last night was about 25 to 30% of normal, what it would normally be. And, I mean, that's, you're talking the most popular, well-known restaurant in Charleston. The rest of them are operating at much lower than that. If you're off the beaten track around here, you are really suffering right now with this reignition of the coronavirus. We had a good day, though, in the market yesterday. By the end of the day, it was pretty good on those vaccine updates. The work from home stocks took the day off yesterday. Isn't that weird how when we get good news on a vaccine, you get a sell-off in Wayfair and Chewy and Shopify and Fiverr and Etsy and eBay and Blue Apron and all those work-at-home stocks. In fact, the work-at-home ETF, work-from-home ETF, which is WFH, I just added it to my app this morning. I'm going to call it a sector. I think it's a new sector of our economy. WFH is now in the app. It'll take a few days to get all of the performance numbers. And, of course, it's a pretty much a new ETF, so it's going to be a while before it gets a grade. But it's in the app. It's got an equal opportunity along with all other 5,300 to sit on the top of the list at some point in time if it's got the right stuff. Work from home was down 1.1% yesterday. Now today, overnight, we saw that the China economy grew 3.2%, but it was the Chinese consumption numbers. The consumption numbers came in much lighter than expected, and that pretty much negated the growth in the China economy news, and that's one reason why we're trading lower today. And, of course, the war heating up, the Cold War heating up between us and China. You had President Trump sanctioning, he's slapping a travel ban on Huawei employees, and China is threatening to retaliate, saying that, well, you know what, we think Microsoft and Apple and Qualcomm and these other tech companies out of America, we think they're spying on us. Maybe we'll just ban them from China. And that's why you're seeing the NASDAQ down here, and the futures about 110 points right now. We also had Europe, the ECB, standing pat, not doing anything. They're going to take a pause, so they're going to continue their QE, but they didn't announce any new massive stimulus programs or any massive bond buying programs over there in Europe, and that's also dampening the market a little bit here. And of course, we're still talking about another round, another package, relief package before Congress goes on break in just a couple of weeks. That still seems to be up in the air, and I think that could be impacting the market here today. The market would love nothing but stimulus, stimulus, stimulus. Money printing, money printing, money printing, and borrowing, 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 and QE forever to eternity and beyond. That's what the market wants. But next stimulus package is probably coming at some point in time, but will they get it done before the recess? They're still pretty far apart, the sides on that one. Good news on the retail front. June retail sales beat expectations for a second month. June retail sales up 7.5% month over month versus a 5.2% consensus. Well, that's good news and it's bad news. It's good news for the economy. Things are going a little better than expected in the retail sector. But it also may mean there's not as much of a hurry to get another relief package out there, and may not see anything from the Fed for a while either in any kind of more stimulus measures. In the retail sales report, here's the winners and the losers. Categories that perform strong during the month include building material and garden. Well, I can just tell you around my own home, I've seen a big uptick in building material and garden between my wife and I. I'm a very avid gardener, although we're in the heat of summer now. Pretty much the harvest is over here, but always updating things and planting new stuff and whatnot. She's very busy, too, planting flowers on our balconies and whatnot. That's been a big big growth area. And, of course, Lowe's and Home Depot have been a couple of the stores that remained open. Grocery stores, Where are all those people that weren't at Charleston's most popular restaurant last night? They're at home cooking dinner, slaving over a hot stove, buying their goods at the grocery store. Sporting goods also did well. A lot of people exercising at home. Kroger, Home Depot, Sprouts, all were leaders in that retail. Laggards, electronic stores, health and personal care stores, department stores down 10.6%, and home and furniture stores. Well, we've got some breakthroughs. One breakthrough in the Alzheimer arena. And some more updates on the COVID vaccine when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we've also got jobless claims as we get every Thursday. Man, they were running at 210. We even had a print under 200,000 earlier this year for the week. That was the lowest number I have ever seen during my years, 23 years in the profession. But we're back since coronavirus hit. We've been running hot, seven figures now for many moons. And we have improved a bit. It's not 3.5 million jobless claims anymore, but we are still at 1.3 million. That's what this past week, that's what the numbers were. The expectations were about that, 1.29 million. Latest sanctions, well, Huawei seems to have been at the center of this fight since the beginning. It remains at the center of this fight. And, of course, the cracking down by China on Hong Kong has also been at the center of this fight recently. We continue to punish or sanction China for what they're doing to Hong Kong, also banning Huawei. Now the latest is a travel ban on Huawei, and of course China says they will fight back, and there is some, whether it's just jawboning or if they're serious about it, they may ban some of the U.S. technology companies. That's why you're seeing a sell-off in the NASDAQ futures this morning. And of course, if you go back to 2018 when the trade war was really at its peak and sanctions were flying back and forth the Pacific, well, the technology sector took it the worst, and so technology is off today here in the pre-market hours because of these threats by China. However, President Trump has ruled out additional sanctions on top Chinese officials for now. He has indicated to aides that he doesn't want to further exacerbate tensions with Beijing. So maybe there will be a little bit of a cooling off. And in the meantime, you know, yesterday I said that China was buying a record amount of corn from us. China buys more soybeans today, ramping up U.S. crop purchases. So it's kind of like, you know, the two sides need each other, but at the same time, there's a line in the sand that neither could cross right now. China reportedly continues its buying spree of U.S. farm products, with private importers booking more U.S. soybeans, according to Reuters. Chinese buyers booked at least five cargoes. I don't know how much is in a cargo of U.S. soybeans. Well, it says here at least 300,000 metric tons for shipment, mostly in October and November, from Gulf Coast and Pacific Northwest ports. Well, that is good news. The Department of Agriculture reports 3.26 million metric tons in U.S. corn purchases, which I reported yesterday, along with the 518,000 metric tons of soybeans and 320 metric tons of hard wheat. That's that good red, hard winter wheat full of protein. Makes great bread. I recommend having that around. You need a grinder. You need a wheat grinder, either by hand. That's not fun. Or bicycle. I've seen bicycle grinders. Or better yet, one that you can plug in if the energy holds up. Twitter hack. That was a big deal yesterday. That also may have a little bit to do with the sell-off in the NASDAQ today. Hackers breached high-profile Twitter accounts, including Elon Musk and Bill Gates this afternoon, enticing people to send Bitcoin. Well, I was looking at it. There's a picture of the tweet that supposedly Bill Gates sent out. It says, "Everyone is asking me to give back, and now is the time. I am doubling all payments set to my Bitcoin address for the next 30 minutes. You send $1,000 and I will send you back $2,000. I don't know how many people fell for that. It seems pretty obvious that it's a scam right on the surface, but I'm sure there are those that sent $1,000 worth of Bitcoin to the fake address that was created, and they never got their $2,000 back from Bill Gates. They're still waiting. In the meantime, Jack Dorsey apologizes over the Twitter hack. He appears to have regained control. These tweets went out from Bill Gates. They're real accounts now, not fake accounts. They're real accounts. Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Joe Biden, President Obama, Kim Kardashian, and Kanye West. Well, that represents about half the wealth in the globe. Right there. Shares of Twitter dropped 3.3% after hours on the news, wiping out more than $1 billion from the company's market capitalization. Why is this a big deal? Well, the hijacking has once again raised questions about the company's ability to combat disinformation on its platform and rekindled concerns about political election interference. Well, how hard would it be to send out? They hacked Biden's account. How hard would it be to send out some really fake news? I'm sure that never happens on Twitter. That could impact the elections one way or another. It's a scary deal. Social media is a scary deal. Coronavirus update. Oklahoma governor tests positive. He's the first governor. Oklahoma's Kevin Stitt is the first U.S. governor to test positive for COVID-19. He took the test after feeling a little achy yesterday and says he mostly feels fine. Meanwhile, Arizona and Florida. Man, I just got back from Arizona. The increase in numbers of new cases slowed a bit. Okay, that's good. Arizona cases up 2.5% today versus the 7-day average of 2.9. And Florida cases up 3.5% versus the 7-day average of 4.5. So it's slowing down a little bit. I also heard some talk about coronavirus, and maybe herd immunity is not 60 or 70% infection rate. There's some thoughts, because look at New York. I mean, New York didn't hit 60 or 70% infection rate, and yet they have slowed down to a crawl there as far as the spread. And there's some thought that a lot of people already have immunity to it. Maybe you had a cold, a COVID-like cold in December or November. Some are thinking that that herd immunity rate is closer to 10 to 20%. Well, that would be good news. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio, or a lot of individual stocks when we come back. Welcome back to the second half. What's in the air? There's a lot in the air today. A lot of breakthroughs, news, updates, virus this, the vaccine that. Not only is coronavirus vaccine in the news, there's also news of a potential Alzheimer vaccine. How about that one? We'll get to that stock here in a minute. In the meantime, you going to go to Walmart today, pick up your groceries? You better bring your mask. Walmart to require face coverings. Following in the path of other retailers, Walmart says it will require all shoppers to wear a face mask when you enter into a Walmart. You can't shop without your face mask on. It was a good day for AstraZeneca yesterday. I don't think it's following through much here today. It's down just a little bit, down 1.4%, but it was up 7% yesterday. They had, and there was a, you know, there was a Bloomberg article saying that AstraZeneca, along with their team at Oxford University, is way ahead of the competition. Now, that's according to Bloomberg. We're waiting for a release from AstraZeneca, an update on their vaccine candidate, AZD1222. AZD1222. But they continue to advance in their clinical trials. They're the one I'm rooting for because I own the stock. Moderna is kind of an all or nothing type of a venture. If Moderna doesn't hit it, and there may be several that come up with the vaccine, I don't know. We'll just see. But I think the first one to come up with it will probably be the winner in this whole thing. But we'll continue to keep our eye on AstraZeneca. It had a huge day yesterday. We continue to own AZN. I personally think that they've got the inside track. Dr. Fauci seems to like Moderna, however. So we'll just see. That's, and then don't forget Pfizer. They're in the race, too. They're right there with their partner in it also. Now, Alzheimer's vaccine, you think that's possible? AC Immune, ACIU, not ACLU, ACIU is up 53% today. Another Switzerland company, thinly traded small cap, jumps 53%. It was up 92% in the pre-market. In reaction to its announcement that has initiated the medium dose cohort in its 24-subject Phase 1b/2a clinical trial evaluating Alzheimer disease anti-tau vaccine candidate ACI-35.030 in patients with early Alzheimer disease. Well, that would be a major breakthrough. It's developing the vaccine designed to generate a specific antibody response against pathological phospho-tau proteins in the brain with Johnson & Johnson unit, Janssen Pharmaceuticals. So that's the partner in this one. J&J, in the meantime, is flat. So the big winner here seemingly would be ACIU. If that would be, that's one of the holy grails out there for drug discovery, would be the Alzheimer, an Alzheimer treatment or Alzheimer vaccine. Amazon extends work from home deadline until January the 8th. In the meantime, a lot of the tech giants have extended the work-at-home deadline to forever. Facebook, Google, Apple don't expect their workers to return to the office before the end of the year. Twitter is allowing employees to work from home forever. Maybe those guys that got hacked. It was actually Twitter employees that were hacked. to get to the logins for Bezos and Gates and Buffett and the rest. Maybe they were working from home. I don't know if security is tight as it should be at home as it is at the office. Twitter has allowed employees to work from home forever. We're sick of you. Just work from home. Disney World opens its last two shuttered parks. How's it going down there? Has anybody heard anything about the Disneyland reopening? Of course, I mean, they're running at, I don't know what percent capacity, not much. But they've opened up the last two, which are Universal Orlando. No, that was last month, Universal Orlando and SeaWorld. Today brings the reopening of Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios. And, of course, last week they opened the Magic Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom. Is anybody old enough to remember Marlon Perkins and the Animal Kingdom every Sunday night? That was a while back. I think it was in black and white. That's how old I am. Investors rushed back into restaurant stocks. It might be a little early. I'm just saying. I'm out and about in my neighborhood quite often. We were in one the other night. We were the only people in the entire restaurant. It wasn't a chain restaurant. Just a poor little guy trying to make a living. Waitresses and cooks and busboys and one customer. I don't think I'd go racing back into the restaurant stocks. But yesterday, with the vaccine news, you saw Dave and Buster's and Red Robin and Dine Brands and BJ's Restaurant and Denny's. I don't care, COVID or no COVID, I wouldn't go racing back into a Denny's. But anyways, those stocks had a good day yesterday. I talked a little bit yesterday about tele-education. I think it's a big deal of the future. I have always felt that way. You know, one by one, it would seem that every sector in the economy eventually gets disrupted from doing it the old way. AT&T, the telephone industry, was totally disrupted. The computer industry was totally disrupted. Retail, totally disrupted. Work from home, disrupting the traditional work in a high-rise downtown model. Well, on the banking industry being disrupted by the PayPals and the Squares of the world. Well, the old way of going to college, it's still the old way of going to college. Going away and living in a dorm and being part of a fraternity and all of this and that. Now you've got this COVID, which is probably a major game changer, and I think you're going to see more and more and more virtual learning. I would like to see the statistics. K-12, for instance, which I talked about yesterday, LRN. Right now, they're the biggest provider of online education. They have 115,000 K-12 students in their virtual schools. They're in all 50 states. They expect to hire more than 1,300 educators to support kindergarten teaching through high school for the 2020-21 academic year. The company notes that it's the leading provider of online and blended education with more than 20 years of experience delivering online and in-person instruction. Now the question is, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, what kind of experience is that for them? And, of course, you talk about high school and playing football and, you know, the traditional, the junior prom, the senior prom, the rallies and school spirit and this and that. But I think college is really ripe for being disrupted. There's been several disruptors over the years, but I think it's just going to continue. And I can just say from a profitable point of view, K-12, which is LRN, is one of the better growth stocks in that industry. And yesterday you had Andrew Left of Citron Research comparing this move in tele-education he was comparing it to Teladoc, a stock that I found very early on, one of the pioneers in telemedicine. Well, is the same thing coming to the education field? It looks to me like it is. Got my eye on LRN. Okay, when we come back, we will have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we've got some stocks in the news here today. We do have several companies reporting earnings today. Let's take a look at those real quickly. I want to talk about Bloom Energy, BE. I noticed that one yesterday in my travels through the market. They're going to sell a device that will allow people to turn water into hydrogen at home. Well, what are you supposed to do with the hydrogen? Hopefully not make a bomb, but it will allow you to generate hydrogen from water. This will be beginning next year, and if you can power it by electricity from solar or wind, the device can create hydrogen without greenhouse gas emissions, and of course then you can use your little hydrogen fuel cells to power different things. So keep your eye on BE, which is Bloom Energy. It was a hot little stock yesterday. Let's see, today as far as earnings go, Alcoa, who cares about Alcoa? They beat earnings. They used to be in the Dow. They have long been kicked out of the Dow. They're doing well, however, today. It's up 6.6%. I think all the beer drinking and whatnot going on at home probably helping out Alcoa. Bank of America beats by 8 cents. I talked to a guy last night at the restaurant I was at. He was telling me, I own a lot of Bank of America. What do you think about it? I didn't want to hurt his feelings or anything. I just said, I don't like it. I don't like the bank stocks at all. I think they're fighting an uphill battle. Number one, the traditional banks are being disrupted by the Robin Hoods of the world, the PayPals of the world, the Squares of the world. And number two, in this low interest rate environment that we're in, that's not good for the banks. Johnson & Johnson beats by 16 cents. Not too much interest there. And we've got Netflix. We'll report after the close. Buckle your seatbelt for that one. Hey, the Dow's coming back. We're down 61 right now. Last time I looked, however, the NASDAQ was still down 100. Let's see where the NASDAQ is. Down 91. Okay, so we're coming back a little bit. Netflix numbers tonight. We have Taiwan Semiconductor. They reported their results. I featured Taiwan Semiconductor the other day. Watch it getting, is it getting clobbered today? No, it's down 2.2%. Hit a new all-time high just a couple of days ago. Well, one that I continue to own, and really it was at the vanguard of the testing for COVID, Abbott Labs. I'm going to feature Abbott Labs today. They reported earnings better than expected. For whatever reason, the medical sector, especially the medical device sector. Now, I don't know if there was something in Joe Biden's plan. I don't know if he said something recently about keeping Obamacare. But I remember in Obamacare there was something about medical devices, a medical device tax. And I don't know if he said something, but yesterday the number one sector in the market, actually there were two, One of them was medical devices and the medical sector in general. And number two was the solar sector. And I think both of those would be related to something that Biden has said probably yesterday. Well, I'm going to feature Abbott Labs here today, which over the years has been a pretty solid performer. Over the last 3 years, Abbott Labs has delivered 44% return to investors out of Abbott Park, Illinois. The yield on the stock is 1.5%. So here's an example. I like companies. If I'm going to buy a dividend stock, I also like to see growth with my dividend. And Abbott has been a 10%, very consistent 10% grower. That's what it's been over the last 5 years. And going forward, it is expected to continue to be a 10% grower. And if it's true that stocks follow earnings, and I believe it is, you got 10% earnings growth and a 1.5% dividend yield. That makes for a pretty nice little package right there. Abbott Labs is within shouting distance of an all-time high. Its all-time high was $100 per share. That was during the heat, right in the midst of COVID in mid-April. And if you remember, Abbott Labs really was the first one to really roll out massive amounts of test equipment. They were at the forefront of that. The stock has a pretty good chart pattern, too, right now. How did they do on their earnings? They beat Q2 consensus. Their diagnostics revenue increased by 4.7%. Boy, you'd think they would have had a bigger shot in the arm than just 4.7%. But overall, they beat their earnings estimates. They beat by 15 cents. They beat on revenue. Now, Abbott Labs is in my growth, my dividend and income portfolio. These are stocks that pay dividends, but they're also growing. Not growing their dividend, growing their earnings. And that's a very key concept that I adhere to in my dividend investing. I see all these people chasing these big dividends in companies that have 1% growth or negative growth rates. The IBMs of the world, the Wells Fargos of the world, the Philip Morris of the world, Altria, big dividends, but no growth anymore. Okay, I like total return. I like growth with my dividend. If you'd like to talk to us about our dividend and growth portfolio, it's pretty unique concept, really, but to me, it's just logical. I should call it the logical portfolio. Or about our emerging growth, ultra growth, that thing is flying. Premier growth, that thing is flying. Portfolios or the bond portfolio, which is for those of you who just can't stomach the ups and downs of the market. Or we can mix and match for you. That's why I've got my advisors ready, willing to talk to you. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. And we're a firm that tries to protect on the downside. You can't have your offense on the field at all times, but we continue to have our offense with just a little bit of defense out there. Watching it daily, very vigilantly. This is Bill Gunderson. Give us a call, GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.